Morning. I was going to share for a few minutes today, probably about one of my favorite topics in the Bible, which I probably share about a little often when I do. It's about encouragement. So I wanted to start off just by sharing a well-known tactic of the enemy is to cause discouragement in our life. I think we could all attest to that. And discouragement can lead to sin, and it can lead to unbelief. It's a really serious thing. It can cause our faith to be shipwrecked. If we let discouragement happen in our life, and it just goes through its course, day over day, week over week, it can really cause our faith to be shipwrecked over a long period of time. Discouragement, I looked this up, what does it actually mean? Discourage. It means lack of courage. And I'm just going to start with a couple of verses here. It's the opposite of courage. 2 Corinthians, I'm going to go to chapter 1. So Satan wants to get us discouraged. And then I'll start off with a couple of verses here in 2 Corinthians. So 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. It says, as many as the promises of God in him, they are yes. Therefore, through him is our amen to the glory of God through us. So what God's word said is all the promises of God are yes and amen. That's what God says. And in fact, it says, I don't have to flip there, but a little later in 2 Corinthians, Paul says, therefore, be of good courage. Because all the promises of God are yes and amen, God wants us to be of good courage. Satan wants to discourage us by disbelief in God's promises. So how does discouragement happen? And I think if we all, you know, if we think about our lives and we think about even the last week, like we could all probably come up with different things, but, you know, things can go wrong. You know, for me, things can go break in the house. I'm not great at fixing things. And if I get home and there's like, you know, three different things broken, that can be something that could cause me to get discouraged. For some of us, maybe there's aches in our body and, you know, pains that if we think about that could discourage us. You know, for maybe some moms, it could be a messy house. You know, maybe for a mom, there's just too many things going on and you can feel overwhelmed. And, you know, there's so many things that can cause us to get discouraged. You know, for you youth, you know, maybe things don't go quite as you planned in life. Like you have a certain thing that you want to happen, it doesn't work out. And, you know, that could cause you to get discouraged. There's lots of things. And I think if you all, you know, just think about your own life, you know, what are those things that can get us discouraged? And it's good to identify that to start. You know, when this happens, we can get thoughts that can come into our mind like, hey, it's never going to work out. I'll never be able to do it. Overcoming in life is maybe for some Christians, but not for me. Like, you know, we can get these thoughts that can come into our life when discouragement happens. Things go wrong, thoughts start to come in, and then we can start to agree with those thoughts and get discouraged. Discouragement can lead to sin and to unbelief, and I think it's critical to fight against that. It's super important. So what I wanted to talk about was, like, how best can we as Christians overcome discouragement? So, first question, what is the opposite of discouragement? And I think it starts there. Opposite of discouragement is encouragement. So, what I wanted to talk about was encouragement. How we as Christians can become encouragers of each other and of ourselves. Sometimes we have to encourage ourselves as well. So, God's word says, encourage one another daily. As I thought about that, I thought, why does it say daily? And I think it's because we can be tempted every day. Every day, things can happen. Trials can come our way that can tempt us to be discouraged. So it's critical that we have to encourage one another daily, every day. It also says to encourage one another and build one another up. If we think about this, if encouraging each other can build each other up, then we want to be able to do that every day. So what I want to do is share three different things about encouragement. Number one, what is biblical encouragement? What is it? Secondly, I wanted to look at what are the key ingredients to encouragement? Like what is encouragement made up of? What are those ingredients? And then thirdly, I wanted to look at an example from the Bible that talks about a really good encourager that I read about that was really encouraged by. So first of all, what is biblical encouragement? So I looked in the dictionary and encouragement was defined as the act of giving someone courage or hope. So the act of giving someone courage or hope, that was how the dictionary described it. And when I thought about this, and you think about it for us parents, when we have kids, if we think about encouraging your kids, you know, what we often think about is, how do we encourage our kids? We might say to them, hey, you rode your bike without training wheels. You did great. Or we might say to our older kids, hey, you had a math test. You did great on it. Good job. You're doing well. Like, so that's how we sometimes we think about encouragement. And I was thinking, is that biblical encouragement? And by the way, what I just described is a good thing. We should encourage each other in that way. Hey, you're doing a good job. Keep going. You're doing well. Keep running the race. Like, that's a good thing. But I think there's more to biblical encouragement, more than just that. So I'm going to read a couple of verses here. Let's go to Gospel of John, chapter 16. So the question is, does God have a deeper meaning behind encouragement than just saying, good job, you're doing great, keep it up? Is there more than that? And I think the answer is yes. So let's look at John 16. I'm going to read verse 33. So Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus is pointing them to the fact that he overcame the world. He overcame the world. That's the first point I want you guys to remember. Jesus overcame the world. Let's go back now to Isaiah. I'm sorry for making you guys flip around a bit. Isaiah chapter 41. So Isaiah 41, I'm going to read verse 10. And he says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look around you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So Isaiah told them, do not fear. That could also mean do not be discouraged. And why did he say do not be discouraged? It's not like he said, oh, you guys are doing great, that's why you don't have to worry. No, he pointed them to God. He said, God is with you. God will strengthen you. God will help you. God will uphold you. That was the reason for the encouragement. He was pointing them to God. Just like Jesus had said, take heart, I have overcome the world. That's why you don't have to be discouraged. So I think to encourage each other in the Lord, I think we need to remind each other that God will be there to help us. His grace is 100% sufficient to help us. And I think we got to remind ourselves of that. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we ask or even think in every area of our life. That applies for everything. If we're struggling with sin, if we're getting discouraged because of our home, too much stuff to do, and we're just overwhelmed, God's grace is 100% sufficient. And I think that's what we need to encourage each other about. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. So here's another really cool verse. So 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. And I'm going to read this verse slowly. It says, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you can have an abundance for every good deed. So think about that verse. How much grace is available to us? All grace. How much sufficiency does he say we can have in everything? All sufficiency. And sufficiency in what part of our life? In everything. Is there anything missing there? So we can have what? We can have an abundance for every good deed. That's what God's able to do in our life. And I think that's what we need to encourage one another in. Whatever we're struggling with, God's grace is sufficient for every part of our life. And I thought that was really cool. One more verse on this topic, 2 Peter chapter 1. God's word says it over and over and over again, and I think it's because he wants us to really just remember this, especially when we're faced with trials. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It says, seeing that his divine power has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. He has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises so that by them you can become partakers of the divine nature. So again we see, his divine power has given us what? Everything pertaining to life and godliness. So my question is there anything lacking there? And the answer is no. He's given us everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. That applies to everything in our life. Anything we're tempted with, any trial, any struggle, any sin we're struggling with, God's power is sufficient. And I think we need to encourage each other about that. We sing a song sometimes called Jesus My Savior. And I'll just, there's a verse in it I'm going to read. It says, why should I worry? I cannot do the least. But through prayer and thanksgiving, you will meet every need. And that's what we need to remind ourselves. We can't solve our problems. We can't fix our problems, but God can do it. He can meet every need. So I think biblical encouragement is pointing each other to the Lord and reminding each other that God is all sufficient for our every need, for every trial, every temptation, and to trust him fully. So that's what I think biblical encouragement is. The second thing I wanted to cover was, what are the key ingredients in encouragement? So I've got a couple, and I'm going to talk about that. So what are the two key ingredients in encouragement? So first of all, I think a lot of us would agree with this, it's faith. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5. So I'm going to read verses 4 and 5. 1 John chapter 5. And it says in verse 4, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes Jesus is the Son of God? So our faith is the first ingredient in my mind in encouragement. We have to believe that God can do it. If we have a problem in our life, we have to believe God is able to help us. How do we increase our faith so we can believe it more? If we're in the middle of a trial, we're in the middle of a temptation, how can we get more faith so when we're faced with this trial, we can just say, God can do it? I asked my kids that, and one of my kids said, ask. And I said, yeah, that's a great idea. Ask and you will receive. There's another way, and I'm just going to go to Romans chapter 10. This was the one I had thought of, but one of my kids had thought, hey, you should ask, and that's 100% true. We should ask. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, it says, faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of Christ. Faith comes from hearing the word of Christ. What I found for myself personally is sometimes I get thoughts into my mind about, you know, discouraging thoughts that go, oh, this is a problem or that's a problem. And I find for myself personally, when I think about God's promises, that's for me is the best thing that can help me to overcome. Like I think about, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Or, you know, I read those other verses that, you know, his power has given us everything we need toward life and godliness. I find for myself, if I read God's promises and I try to remember them, then when I'm faced with a struggle, a thought comes in about something that's causing me to get discouraged, maybe a verse will come to mind and then I can actually say, God, you're right. You've got it under control. All things work together for good. And that can help me a lot. So God's word can increase our faith. And one other thing too, as we build a history of being encouraged by the Lord. So let's say, you know, I'm driving home from work and all of a sudden I get this, you know, I'm thinking about my day and there was problems at work with my day and I'm just feeling discouraged about that. Well, I can remember that verse in Isaiah, for example, that says, God, you said you'll never leave me or forsake me and you'll uphold me and you'll strengthen me. As I say that, I find I can be encouraged and I can just say that I can let the discouragement go. When the Lord does that in each of your lives, you build this history of being encouraged by the Lord. And then when you go to someone else and try to encourage them, you can say, it actually works. God encouraged me. I was feeling discouraged and he can do it for you too. So I think it's important for each of us that we can build that. We can build that history with the Lord. He's helped us here. He's helped us here. He's helped us here. And as we do that, we can go to people and we can encourage them in a real way. It wouldn't just be with head knowledge where I can say, well, here's a verse for you today. But it would be more than that. It would be saying, hey, God actually helped me in this area. So I'm able, he can help you too. I think that's what God wants to do in our life. So first ingredient, I think, is faith, right? We often sing a song called Battle Belongs, and we have to remember the battle belongs to the Lord. So what's the second ingredient I thought of? The second ingredient for encouragement is trust. Faith, I think, is believing that God can do it. But I think trust is believing that God will help us. He will. He has the ability to help us, but he will help us. I thought of this example, like if there was a little kid, like, I don't know, Luke, and he needed to lift something heavy, like the speaker, and let's say it was impossible for him to lift, but then he saw someone like Jason, knowing he's big and strong, and he knew Jason had the ability to lift it. But let's say Jason was just some random stranger and didn't know him. Well, Luke might look at him and think, yeah, he could definitely do it, but I'm not sure he will do it for me because I don't know him and he doesn't know me, and right? But so I was thinking about that, and I thought our relationship with God is so much different. God is our Heavenly Father. He loves us so much. He cares about every area of our life. And I think we have to have trust in God that he has the very best in mind for us. And when we ask him to help us, we should believe that he will help us. 100% will. It doesn't mean that he'll help us the way we expect, but everything he allows is for our absolute good. And I think we just have to come to trust God more and more in our life. So much so that we have absolute trust in him, that we can tell God, God, whatever happens, I know it's for my good. And then when we come to him and we ask for help, we can actually say, God, I know you're going to work it out. So I think to have more trust is important. I listened to a message that Zach preached on Matthew chapter 10 this last week. And he talked about where the two sparrows are sold for a penny. And Zach had said in this message, he had said, well, if two sparrows are sold for a penny, how much are they worth each? Well, half a penny. So he said, if you're the person who buys the two sparrows and, you know, one of your two sparrows dies, you're not going to worry too much because it only costs you half a penny. So it's like, hey, it's almost worthless to you. He said, but God notices if even one sparrow falls to the ground because he's the creator. He knows. And he then said, all the hairs on our head are numbered. He not only knows how many hairs we have, but they're numbered. Like, he knows this is hair number one, this is number 10,006, or something like that. So if one of our hairs falls off in the night, hey, we're not even going to notice it. It's almost worthless to us, but God cares. He cares about us so much that every one of our hairs is numbered. So that was an example that Zach shared that I listened to this past weekend about how much we can trust God because how much he cares about our life. And as I thought about that, I just thought, you know what? We can trust that God knows what's best for us in every possible situation. So that was the second ingredient for being able to encourage. Number one, we have to believe that God can help us. Number two, we have to trust that he will help us. And I think if we can do those two things when we're trying to encourage people, you know, I think that's what we need to encourage people. God can help you and God will help you. Of course, it's not necessarily the way we'd expect, but it's for the very best. So what I wanted to do now is just close with an example of an encourager. So hopefully we can all become encouragers in this way. So the person I wanted to share about is a guy named Jehaziel. Not a common name. Does anyone know the name Jehaziel? It's a very common story, but the name itself is very uncommon. So anyways, let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I'm going to close with this example. Very common story. I think we'll all remember the story. But the person I wanted to focus on was this guy named Jehaziel and what he actually did as an encourager. So 2 Chronicles chapter 20. So just starting off, let's look at verses 1 to 4. So it says, it came about that the sons of Moab, the sons of Ammon, together with some Meunites, came to make war against Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah at that time. And some came and reported to the king, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea. Behold, they're in this area. So Jehoshaphat was afraid, and he turned his attention to the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast through all Judah. So Judah gathered together to seek help from the Lord. They even came from all the cities of Judah to seek the Lord. So if we pause there for a moment. So the king, and let's just, the king was afraid when he heard this message. So a great army was coming to attack them. When he heard this, he feared. What does the Bible tell us about fear? What does Jesus say? He says, do not fear what man can do to you. So the king was afraid. So he said, we got to gather to pray. And it was a good thing they gathered to pray, right? Because that's what we should do. We should seek the Lord when we're facing trouble. But he feared. And God says we don't have to fear what man can do to us. But I still thought it was a good thing that they came together. They gathered together. So then if we look in verse 5 to 13. So it says they gathered together to seek help from the Lord. Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah. And he basically, I'm not going to read all these verses here, but he basically was praying to God for help. And if we look in verse 10, he says, behold, the sons of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir See how they're rewarding us for coming to drive us out from your possession. O God, verse 12, will you not judge them? We are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. All Judah was standing before the Lord with their infants, with their wives, and with their children. So if we pause there for a second, let's just imagine what this scene looks like here. So the king is afraid, and he's the leader of the people. He's fearing. The people come together to pray. As I thought about this scene, it probably wasn't a rejoicing, joyful scene. It was probably a very solemn, you know, maybe a somber atmosphere, because the leader of the people, he's afraid. So they come together to pray. And it was probably not a happy occasion. You know, they're seeking God, and that's good, but it was still probably a very solemn affair. Until something happens, and this is where Jahaziel comes in. So let's look at verse 14. In the middle of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, and he said, "Listen, O Judah, and to inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not fear or be dismayed." And the word dismayed could also mean discouraged. Do not be discouraged because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. They will come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley in front of the wilderness. You do not have to fight in this battle. Station yourself, stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear. Do not be dismayed. Tomorrow go to face them, for the Lord is with you. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites stood up to praise the Lord God with a very loud voice. So we see one man stood up, filled with the Spirit, and he said, do not be discouraged, do not be fearful. The battle belongs to the Lord. And what happened to the atmosphere of this meeting when he said that? What happened? They worshiped the Lord, and they all started praising the Lord together. Imagine that. Like, we have an assembly where they're solemn, and they're probably worried, and they're probably fearful like the king was. One man stands up and says, you don't have to fight this battle yourself. The battle is the Lord's. And the assembly changes to praise and worship. And I was just thinking about that. I was thinking, imagine if that could be us. We could be out there. When someone's discouraged, we could say, do not worry. The battle is not yours, but it's God's. Trust in the Lord. He will work it out. If we can all become encouragers like Jahaziel, I just think it would be an amazing thing. So that was kind of what I wanted to share today. I want the Lord to work in my life as well as each of our lives so that we can become encouragers like Jahaziel and see what the Lord can do in our midst.